Today we're gonna be in Philippians. When I was in Uganda at the rehab place, working with the guys there, Teen Challenge. As I was talking to a few of the guys, they were referencing just problems with other people, you know, in the place, and you know, and these guys have come to. For a year, to dedicate a year of their life to getting sober, healed, strengthen their relationship with God. Not all of them are believers, but and some of them, you know, do find him in the midst of it. But it's a Christian organization. But in the process of that, a lot of them are seeking, you know, health and wholeness. But then the way that they treat each other was just really sad to see, and some of them had been contemplating leaving because of somebody else in the program. And anyway, so I taught just some on, you know, the importance of loving each other and helping each other, and what if, you know, those guys that are there, instead of being so focused on themselves, that they were really focused on helping the other person's process. And so I got to thinking about that, and since I've been back, you know, things have been kind of busy, so I was flipping through and just looking at some different scriptures that have stuck out to me, you know, while I was gone, and Philippians was one of those places about being in unity with the people that you're doing life with, really. And Paul is specifically in Philippians talking to the Philippian church, but those letters were meant to be, you know, spread around, and now they're for us as well. But the reality of how challenging it is to stay family, not just physical family. I mean, you look at physical families and how difficult it is for physical families. You know, they're born into family, to stay together and to be a healthy family is so hard, right? And often fall apart. And it's really challenging. And then you go the step further and you take people from totally different walks of life. At least, like, when you're born into a family, you kind of grow up with similar, you know, parenting, or, you know, you had this, you know, same parents, or, you know, if your parents are divorced, you're going back and forth. And so you at least had some commonality, right, and kind of what you were born into. And then you take people who are from all different walks of life and put them together to create a family of believers, and how much even more challenging that can be. And I don't know about you guys. I mean, I've been a Christian my whole life, and so I've seen so much hurt done in churches, you know, and just relating it back to at this place, Teen Challenge, and how these guys were really making it hard for the other people to find freedom, though they all desired it, but they had these patterns that they learned, and then they really were hurting each other. You know, they were making it more challenging for the other people to find freedom. And how many times there have been churches that I've been a part of that people have left or split. I mean, when we were at the Vineyard, I mean, it happened several times where groups of people would leave, you know, over, you know, disagreements. And, you know, the way my parents' church ended was, I mean, we'd been doing it since what, when? For how long was it going? Do you remember the timing?
Like, well, 11 years.
11, been going. 11 years, and just the way it ended was just so bad, you know, and the way that my parents were treated. And, and, you know, things that they thought were okay, and people just held it all in, right? And so part of this is not that I feel like that's what's happening here. It's by no means, it's nothing that I'm like, I'm speaking to in this. But I think we need to talk about those things, because it's important for us as we're continuing to build family and pursue relationships with people. What are some tools that we need to use to maintain family, to maintain being in, you know, to keep close connection? And so I just feel like there was some amazing truths in this. And, you know, we've had people over the years who have left for various reasons. You know, I mean, we've been doing Rev for, gosh, it's been a long time. I mean, I started doing stuff with Tommy and Chrissy 11, 12 years ago. Then I went to Uganda and came back, and then slowly it kind of developed into from kind of just a Bible study on Wednesday nights to church. And we've had a lot of people who have walked with us over the years, and people have left for different reasons, you know, like Amy left to Arizona, you know, and pursuing something that she's passionate about, which is awesome. You know, we had Mike and Bethany who were here for a while, and God was leading them to the East Coast, and God's blessing them, you know, but we're still connected with them as well. And I love Mike and Bethany, and they come and help with encounters. And, you know, we've had people who have left for really hard reasons. You know, we had group of different families who were walking with us for a few years in leadership, and that split. And then we've had other people who have had disagreements, maybe not necessarily with people who are actually here, but people who are part of Rev, you know? Or disagreements with Tommy and Chrissy, you know? And instead of working that out, then people have stopped coming, you know? And just think of that, and not that's not to, like, bring up names or any specific stories, but all of that to be said, it's not easy. Doing life with people isn't easy. Walking life with people is hard. I mean, you think about, like, the work situations that a lot of us are in. Aaron and I were, you know, just talking about some of the ones that he's had and some of the ones that I've had at my work. I mean, I worked in my place for 16 years. It's a lot of time to work with people, you know, and people have come and people have go, and sometimes it's because they don't like the principal and they leave, and other people come, and certain people can kind of shift the feel of a place and the dynamics between people, and you don't know what everybody is coming with. That's what, you know, and so the relationships that we have with people, we don't know where people are coming from. I was talking with one of the young guys in Uganda. Well, he was not in Uganda, but he's doing cruise ships, playing music. And he was just sharing how difficult it is right now. And he's wanted to quit this contract. The people on the band have been really, really challenging for him. And he was just sharing some stories. And the other lead singer has told him, like, you can't offer feedback to me on anything. Like, it needs to come through the boss. And somebody else has, you know, sworn at him during rehearsals. And like, there's just this dynamic, but he's, like, trying to pursue, like, we need to become friends because we're trying to play music together, and yet, like, people can feel when they listen to us that we're not connected. You know, so I'm just saying, like, relationships wherever we are, be workplaces, in bands that we work in, but then you create this, and we do have something in common. You know, we do have Jesus in common that brings us together, but I think sometimes people think that, oh, I just need to find that church where I fit. Right, you know, like that's my, like, that I feel so connected with people. You're gonna, every church, there's gonna be difficulties everywhere you go, any church family, you know, and there's going to be disagreements, and there's gonna be things about, you know, theology, or there's going to be things that you just have to work through, you know, with people to go into greater depths. You know, I was thinking of one of my dear friends is going back to Rwanda to get married, and he'll be coming back here, but him and I have had things we had to work through. When he lived with me, there were things that I did that weren't okay, and things that him and his sister, and we had to work through those. And just a few months ago, we had a conflict and had to work through that because of some hurts in my heart, but it wasn't geared towards him. But all of that, like, our relationship is better now than it was before because we actually both chose in. Well, one of my sons in Uganda, we've had some conflicts since I've been back, and both of us decided, like, I said, I'm here, I'm in, are you? And he's like, yeah. And so we're able to work through things. And when two people choose to continue to work through things, you can work through amazing stuff. Mm-hmm. You really can. But you also need two people who are going to choose to work through that. And so as Paul is writing to the Philippians, he's telling them to live in peace, to live in unity. And we're going to read through those scriptures. But I think the church would be a much more inviting place if people knew that they were stepping into healthy family. Right? Not perfect. Not that there won't be conflict, but the way that conflict is handled is done in a healthy and mature way. Whereas that's not always the case. And my past was not always the case in the way that I dealt with people. You know, and I know that I've done things wrong in the past that I'm going to learn from. Right? And that I'm taking, you know, through, like, friendships that aren't around anymore. I could have done things differently back then. And Aaron and I were talking yesterday and just talking about, like, I can either live in guilt from the past, or I can just learn from it and move forward in the new relationships that I have, I'm going to do better, right? Some people have been married before, and they now being married again, and they're going to do it differently. Why would you treat, you know, if there were problems, why would you bring all of that into this next one, right? Why would you treat this person the exact same way you did that other person? It's a new person. It's a new relationship. It's something fresh. You know, I mean, walking that through with you, you know, like, there's the end of one season, the beginning of a new one, and it's beautiful, but you can't do it the same as you did before. Right? Same thing with Aaron, as he shared, you know, about his life, you know, and his first marriage and being married now. You know, it's different. And so I say that, like I said, none of this is like that I feel like anything's like off. I feel like we as a family, I want to continue to speak into health and wholeness of relationship and community, because if we don't speak about it in the front and things happen, then we don't know how to work through it when it does. My students this year, this class that I'm I'm bouncing around. Are you guys tracking with me? Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm rabbit trailing, but hopefully it's all connecting. So my class this year has been known as the hardest class over the last 6 years of elementary school. And every teacher has been like, this is the hardest. This is the hardest. I mean, one teacher retired because of them. Teachers last year in fifth grade were crying multiple days because of this class, and now they're mine. You know, and we're off to an okay start, but I can see these difficulties. But I've decided, like, I'm gonna put the work in the front, so I don't have to then try to play catch up at the end. You know, in the back when things actually happen. You know, when you're building a marriage and you get married, there's a lot of work in that first year to really get to know the other person. How are we going to communicate? How are we going to establish patterns for us to be able to do this so that we don't have to now just try to fix things, right? And so me and my immediate family, like, we've been learning how to have difficult conversations and walk through where things feel broken to mend them because we're both choosing in. And anywhere you go in life, and if you're here for a short season and God takes you somewhere else, wherever you are in life, there is going to be conflict. There are going to be people that are hard to deal with. And for me, I know sometimes in the past, I've been the one that was the hard one to deal with, you know? And so I'm growing and I'm learning, but I think knowing what a goal is and what is the vision for family and connection and what it really means to walk in family and to risk and be vulnerable and when the issues are there to talk through it isn't easy, but it's something that I want to continue as leading this community to push more and more. So that when there is something, relationships are able to maintain, that relationships are able to stay, even though, like, they might change due to some conflicts, but that they don't end. So, anyway, I want to read in Philippians. You know, and I know a lot of people, we came from a funeral this morning. My cousin's mother passed away just a couple days ago.
Less than a week ago,
I'm talking to one of my cousins, and I don't really know where he is necessarily with God. I didn't really know where he was with that, but we were talking with him, and I said, "Gosh," I said, "tragedies like this, they're hard. They change us." He's like, "Yeah," he's like, "But this has changed me so much for the better." I said, "Okay," and he starts sharing, and he said, "I felt God and been reminded of things that I had forgotten about and the value of certain things." And he said, "It's powerful when it feels like God is, you're having to ride on God's back because you can't walk yourself, but God's actually giving you strength to keep going." And then when he said that, I was like, oh my gosh, like, that's a really profound thing to say, you know, and just feeling like, and it's not like, I mean, like I said, I don't know, like, where he's been in the last season, but there's something, there's a connection, you know, there. And I was, you know, being reminded of different people that I've walked through life with, and losing somebody that you love, or church splits, or things that just happen that are traumatic in life. There's often in people's stories where they choose to walk away from God. You know, they choose to stay in that place and be like, I'm done. This is not a judgment on people doing that. Everyone is in their own process. But I've seen a lot of people also leave church because, and not just church, but leave God and say, God can't be good because look at the way his people love each other. Right? Because of the way that people are to each other, then I don't want to be a part of that. And so they walk away from him, and it's like, well, we're messy people. I'm a messy person. You know, like, I know that I haven't done things right in the past. I want to learn from that. But I really hope the actions that I've done won't make people, you know, like, say no, you know, to him. But I can't control other people's responses to that. But I can learn from my past actions. But if the church as a whole didn't have so much division from church to church to church, and churches within themselves have division, it could really be a hospital that's healthy for people to come and get healthy, right? Like, that's the desire of my heart. Like, regardless of where you are, that it's a safe place to come, like, wow, these people really love each other. It doesn't mean life is easy. It doesn't mean tragedy doesn't happen. It doesn't mean there's not conflict. These people love each other. I know that I can feel loved here, and I know that I can become whole. And that really is why, like, honestly, I continue to do Rev. You know, as hard as it's been, I mean, Aaron and I, we've had a lot of friends who have walked with us over the past years that aren't walking with us anymore for a lot of various reasons. And that's hard, you know? And like Mike and Bethany, that was hard for me, you know? And it was not, I didn't feel rejected by them, but it was hard for me because it was just like, oh my gosh, like I have people that I'm walking with and we'd walk for years and like we were just forming beautiful relationships. And Mike is just one of my dearest friends. And just to have him here was really precious. And it was like, really, God? You know, like, really? You know, like, but, you know, whatever the season is that we get with people in this family, my prayer is that it's a healthy season for them. And I think what Paul writes about in Philippians helps towards that. So Philippians 2 is where I want to read. And I'm reading out of the Passion. So the title, which there was no title, you know, but it is when they first wrote it. But anyway, joined together in perfect unity. It says, look at how much encouragement you found in your relationship with the Anointed One, with Jesus. You're filled to overflowing with his comforting love. You've experienced a deepening friendship with the Holy Spirit and have felt his tender affection and mercy. So, because of that, because you felt that from him, so I'm asking you, my friends, that you be joined together in perfect unity with one heart, one passion, and united in one love. Walk together with one harmonious purpose, and you will be, and you will fill my heart with unbounded joy. Be free from pride-filled opinions, and this is something that God's really challenging me on, thinking that I've always done it right, you know, or that I was the one in the right. Be free from pride-filled opinions, for they will only harm your cherished unity. Don't allow self-promotion to hide in your hearts, but in authentic humility, put others first and view others as more important than yourselves. Abandon every display of selfishness. Possess a greater concern for what matters to others instead of your own interests. Not easy for me. And consider the example that Jesus, the Anointed One, has set before us. Let his mindset become your motivation. You know, like, that's a lot of stuff. Like that, but, like, there's so much hope there. It's possible, right? I think sometimes we read things in here like that. Well, good, I hope it works for them. You know, it's like, but it is possible. Like, really walking in healthy relationships is possible. Is hard, but is possible. You know, and I look at where, like, my family, my immediate family, and though it's still work, the stuff that we've worked through over the years, it is possible and it's healthier than it was, and yet there's still conflict. So it doesn't mean you get to this place where, like, there's never any issues, but you learn how to work through those. And so this idea, again, a lot of conversations that Aaron and I have are very deep, so that's why I keep going back to conversations that him and I have. But we were talking about going back to, you know, looking back at friendships that we've had, friendships that have fallen apart, you know, like I have some friendships that I don't have anymore, you know, and looking back at some of those, and sometimes it's easy to go to this place of like, I was right, or I did it right, or I did it, you know, good or better, and realizing like I have stuff to own. And it's easy to get that self-righteous attitude for me to kind of be like, well, I did the best that I could. Well, I think in that moment, I probably did the best I could with what I had, but I don't want that to be my best now, right? And so when things don't go well, what do I learn from it? When things do fall apart, what do I learn from it? When I lose dear friends, or I go through heartache, or there are church splits, or people like leave, what do I have to own in that? Where can I step in, even if it's not in, you know, necessarily about my interests? Where do I step into people's lives? Looking at them is more important than myself in those moments. And it's not, I don't believe that it's us laying ourselves down to say like, hey, just walk all over me. But it's saying, where can I sacrifice? Where can I say like, I'm going to choose to be humble. I know who God is. I'm going to choose to just walk in grace and mercy. And I'm going to choose to do better this time, because in the past, I can't go back and fix everything. But I can do something different in the next, right? And that's where I feel like I am right now with things. Like, you know, just over the last few months, like I've had conversations with people and said things to some people that I really care dearly about that I wish did not fly out of my mouth, you know? And it's not really actually like me, It's feels very foreign to who I am, and yet like there's something in that I'm trying to learn about who I am, and it's like, okay, well, I could sit in guilt or I could make it right, you know. And so I'm speaking this to me. So like right now there's this big mirror here, because this is what, you know, like all I can really talk about often is really what God's dealing with in my heart. That's as authentic as I can get, you know, and it's not about things that I have down perfect, it's things that I want to challenge myself in, and if we all can grow together in that, there's a power in that. So,
can I say something real quick?
Yeah.
So, I don't recommend the movie necessarily. I like it, but I'm not going to recommend it. If it 300, you may see 300. So, I mean, so here's the thing, you don't have to watch it. What it's based on is like the Spartan warfare.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And like the way that they did warfare. So let's the analogy is this: life kind of feels like a battle sometimes, right? Mm-hmm. Like, let's be honest. Like life feels like a battle sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I think that like they understood something spiritual and attached it to the way that they did warfare. So like if you don't know the story, 300 Spartans kept thousands upon thousands upon thousands of Persians. At, they could not get past 300 soldiers. It's a historical war, a battle that is like in the annals. Like, so, and why? Because this Spartan fought for him. For him. The shield was for their friend. So, like, that's how they did battle. And, like, they train like that, so 300 people moved like one. It was like a tank. The Persians would attack them with, like, bombs and giants and fill in the blank. I'm sure some of that movie was all mythical. Some of it was mythical. However, like, huge. Like, I mean, they had all this sophisticated warfare, and the Spartans, they could not get past the Spartans. I think there's something you learn in that. Like, what it's what Josh is talking about. You know, like, life is a battle. And so we want, I think some of our hope is we're going to get to tomorrow, right? Proverbially speaking, tomorrow, or next week, or the year after that, in victory. If we look out for the person to the right of us, the person to the left of us, and we're using the shield for them, you can read about it without watching the movie.
The movie's
great. There's some stuff in it I would say skip, but I can't tell you what it is at this point. I'm just saying, there's actually other movies. There's older versions of it, too. There's some stuff. I know.
You're not going to wife, you're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Anyways, I can't put a stamp of approval on the movie for so much, but what I do put a stamp of approval on is what they represent in the way they do warfare.
Yeah.
That sound good?
And if you think about that, so to build on that, like it says in here, to be harmonious, and I just, when Aaron was talking about that, harmony is hard. To get an orchestra to work together, to be in harmony with each other, takes a lot of practice and a lot of skill. Disharmony, right? Seems to be cacophonic, I think is the way you say it. And just chaos is easy, right? You could put a bunch of instruments in a room and just play whatever you want, and it sounds bad. It's easy to sound bad, right? It's hard to make things sound like they are supposed to be together. When you go to see, like, listen to a symphony, and you have that many instruments up there, and it sounds beautiful, that took a lot of practice for all of them individually, and then to come together to learn how to trust each other. You know, like, to make a beautiful sound and to say with to be harmonious, it is hard to have a group of people that live in harmony with each other. It is really easy, which we're seeing all over the world, it is easy for things to fall apart and become warfare. It is easy for things to fall apart and people just to not like each other because they disagree. You know, one of my sons, one of the things that I said to him when we had some of these discussions, I think I said this last Sunday, was I said to him specifically because I wanted him to know, I don't have to agree with you to love you and walk life with you. And that's fact. I don't have to agree with all of you to still love you and walk life with you, right? And I think it's that thing of like, well, if I don't agree with you fully, and that's why we have so many different factions of churches all over the world who are like, we're not like them, we're not like them, we're not this, we're not this. And it's like, oh my gosh, do you believe in Jesus? You know, like where can we find the unity? Because it's there. What is our shared unit, or shared passion, mm-hmm. shared vision? You know? So moving on from this, we're going to skip to verse 12. Because he talks about, like, example of Jesus, and though it's great stuff, read about Jesus. But the purpose is back to, like, with unity and how we live with each other. So he said, "My beloved ones, just like you've always listened to everything I've taught you in the past, I'm asking you now to keep following my instruction as though I were right there with you. Now you must continue to make this new life fully manifested as you live in the holy awe of God, which brings you trembling into his presence." And this is what God will do. God will continually revitalize you. Revitalize. That's a big word. That's like bringing back to life when you feel empty. He will revitalize you, implanting within you the passion to do what pleases him. And what pleases God? Love. To love people, to love yourself, to love him. That's what pleases God. It's all about pure love, right? And so he will revitalize you, implanting within you the passion to love. Then he says this next, "Live a cheerful life without complaining or division among yourselves. For a lot of years, I was so not happy with who I was, and I found so many things in churches to complain about." I remember being with in my parents' church, and I just remember finding things about my dad to be complaining about. You know, and there was just always things, and I remember when I first started walking with Tommy, I would find things about Tommy to be complaining about. And really, it had nothing to do with them. It all had to do with my insecurities. And I've mentioned this several times, but our very first emerging leaders, it was, anyway, I'll tell it, but I'm trying to figure out where to start. So, like, I was helping with music stuff and getting some stuff together, and I was just stressed because, for me, I felt like I was tolerated at that time in my life. And anything that Tommy would say, even if it was positive, I heard through this filter of, like, I'm just a tolerated person because I didn't like who I was. So it wasn't anything about Tommy. And so we're going through, and I'm getting things ready, and I'm communicating with him. And finally, he's like, "What is wrong? Because you are treating me like an ass." You know, he's like, "I don't know what I've done," or whatever. And finally, I was just like, "Oh, my gosh." You know, like, and I didn't realize, like, how, like, what was going on. And it was later that night, we ended up going through prayer, and there was some stuff that God spoke to my heart that I needed, because the way that I was functioning, the way I was treating people, you know, and Tommy and I have had conflicts over the years, many conflicts. I think of anybody that's, like, continuing to walk with him, I probably had the most conflict, because we're so different, but we love each other, and, like, we keep being like, "But I'm in," and they're not huge things, but there's little things that, like, we've had to, like, come back and, like, learn how to communicate, and it's so much better now, but it's been 11 years of us walking together, and I'm so grateful because it's made me so much into the man that I am now. But it's also challenged me, and I've had to, like, humble myself. But there were times, like, I was putting onto him all the stuff that I felt. It is easy to live in disunity. It's really easy to live in disunity. It's easy for relationships to fall apart. It is easy for families to fall apart. I'm not saying it's an easy choice to leave, but it is easy for families to fall apart. It goes there fast, right? Divorce happens fast. It just does, you know? Fights can break out super fast, you know? And so, you know, you look at wars and you look at different things, all that stuff, and we're just feeling that. So live a cheerful life. What? Well, that's important right here. Okay, all right, I'll take it. Without complaining or division among yourselves. Complaining doesn't help anything. And I have found myself doing that, you know, talking to Aaron and complaining about other people, talking to my mom and complaining about people. I'm like, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to choose that anymore. Again, I can't go back to old relationships. But I don't want to carry that stuff, those old patterns, into new relationships. For then you will be seen as innocent, faultless, pure children of God, even though you live in the midst of a brutal and perverse culture. To be honest, in America, we're living in a really brutal and perverse culture. Like, just disunity is everywhere. I'm not going to be that. I don't want to be that, right? It's so easy to be sucked into that. That's not everyone, but that's just what's loudest right now, right? For you will appear among them as shining lights in the universe. That's awesome. Offering them the words of eternal life. If we live different, we have actually something to offer. If we love each other well, we have something to actually offer people. So our words actually mean something. We say there's a different way to do this, right? And so all of this is for me to say, we're doing the hard work because we're still here, right? My mom and dad are still doing the hard work being married 42 years, 43 years, mm-hmm. 44 years. I don't know how long you've been married.
Mm-hmm. I don't either. No.
In the early 40s.
43.
You know, like, and I look at relationships that I didn't do the hard work and they're not there anymore. Mm. You know, and I allowed misconceptions or unmet expectations get in the way. And instead of having conversations, chose fear. And so one thing I wrote here is two of the things that I think can break relationships apart quickly is pride and fear. Mm. Pride, like you feeling like you're always right, trying to prove it, and that fear of actually talking through the problem of what's going to happen. Mm. And the more that I've actually worked through issues with people, I don't have as much fear when I have conflict with those people because I know we can work through it. Doesn't mean I just let it just happen and I'm just going to treat them badly. But I know when I come to that conflict or when we have to talk about real issues, we've already proved in the past we've been able to do that. But that first conversation, we have to walk through something that's difficult. Whew, that's not easy. Mm. Right? That first time you're like, I have no idea if this is going to last or not. They could walk out, you know? And one of my sons that I was telling you about, like when we were talking on the phone, I said, you had a chance to walk out on this relationship. And so did I. But neither of us have. So we can move forward. Mm. And that's really all it is. It doesn't mean you need to have it perfect, but you're saying, I'm going to move forward. I'm not leaving. So let's figure out the skills to actually do that. And so one of the things that I'm learning how to do and sitting down with people and being vulnerable is starting with this and saying, the story that I'm telling myself is the truth that I'm believing, and it may not be, it's my truth. It doesn't mean it's the full truth. The story that I'm telling myself right now is this. And it gives that person then a chance, it's not attacking them, but a chance to say, like, that's not the story that I have. You know, and with somebody in my family, we had that conversation, you know, on our road trip, and just saying, you know, like, this is what it feels like. I'm like, wow. Or he was able to tell it to me, and I was like, that's not what's in my heart. That's not what I was intending. And that came out that way, so I need to watch that, but that was not in my heart. Okay. Even though that's what it felt like. And those conversations are hard. But anyway, all of this, I felt like it was important to talk about because everywhere disunity is happening. And, you know, and when Aaron was talking about for the Spartans, the 300, for them to get ready for a battle, to be that united is hard. It is easy to just run at the enemy and just start swinging a sword and fall apart and get, you know, divided. But it is really hard to do it together as one, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, like Aaron and I, we have, you know, if I look at Aaron and I's relationship, when I was like a teenager and he was, you know, entering closer to 20s, because he's so much older than me.
a lot older,
18 months. It's long. But, you know, we were not great friends back then. You know, and there was love there. It's not like I wanted bad things to happen to him, but I had a lot of pride in my heart. And the way that I looked at Aaron, I looked at him through a lot of pride, thinking that I was doing it all right. And yet I had so much bitterness in my heart. It was no different, you know, than some of the choices that he was making. And, you know, and then we lived together for a year, and then again we lived together for a year, and we had to have tough conversations. And there was a time he came to me, he's like, I don't think you want me living with you. Like, what? He's like, the way you're treating me. And so here's the deal. I'm not very good at hiding that something's going on. You know, so sometimes I'll tell him, I'm like, no, I'm good. He's like, don't lie to me. You're not. Because sometimes I don't actually know what I'm feeling. Something's rough. Something's not going right. I'm displeased with something, but I don't know sometimes what it is. But then I take it out on other people, and it seeps through. You know, and just like my, you know, this guy was telling me about, you know, his band. People can feel that the band's not together. You can feel the atmosphere. Even if you say, I love you, you can feel stuff behind it. And it's like, oh, you're saying things are okay, but there's an energy here, right? You, like they are, right? You can walk into a community of people and be like, I do not want to stay here. These people do not care about each other, but they are sitting in the same space. You can feel that. I hope that's not the way that this is. I don't think it is here. I feel pretty good. I feel good. I'm saying. But you can feel that something's off. Tommy, it wasn't any words that I said to him, but there was a feeling that was happening, and he's like, whoa, I had to check myself, right? But I needed Aaron to bring that to my attention to be like, okay, it's coming out. Because I knew I was dealing stuff inside, but I didn't know how I was impacting somebody else. I needed Tommy to tell me that. I need people in my life that will call me out on things and say like, hey, something's going on. I can feel something's not there. You know? So all of this to be said, Paul writing it to the church, it's possible to live in unity, or it wouldn't be written about. Right? It's possible to mend things in relationships, or that wouldn't be written about. God's not going to give us a tutorial to do things if it wasn't possible to do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. There are ways to love each other and to walk forward, not because we have everything in common. You know, like, one guy told me, he's like, I was part of two churches at one time, and I ended one and came to really walk with Tommy and Chrissy, and this guy's like, really? Because he knew Tommy. He's like, you and Tommy don't look like you guys would walk together. It was a weird thing to say, but I'm just like, well, we are. You know, like, I don't know what to tell you. I know that we seem, like, very different, but, like, we are. I'm not into hardcore. I have a lot of people who are, but, like, you know, like, I help with, like, emerging leaders, and a lot of those people are, like, these hardcore metal people who come to keep it for Tommy. I am so not that. We were sitting with some friends last night, and I pull out, like, my wallet, and Aaron pulls out his, and she looks at both of them, and mine's, like, this metal card holder, and she looks at Aaron's, like, huh, rugged mountain man, and she's, like, this is very telling, just the way that your wallets are, you know, like, but the way that we all do life is going to be different, and we're going to come from different backgrounds, and we're going to come from different cultures and different upbringings and different trauma and different pain and different hopes and dreams, and we expect it to be easy, and we're trying to find a family to walk with that it just feels easy, then you're never going to go deep. Mm-hmm. You're not going to have deep relationships with people if it's always easy.
Yeah.
You never go somewhere deeper. The only reason Aaron and I are such dear friends is because we were able to work through things. Tommy and I are dear friends because we worked through things. That's it. Me and my good friend Gustave, because we've worked through things and we trust each other. Like, I would trust him with my life. You know, like, those relationships are because conflict happened and we chose to stay in. If you're going to, like, there are people who have gone to the place, well, I don't click with those people. Well, keep going until you do. Because you're not going to just go find somebody. You're like, if you try to find somewhere that you're just, like, similar with every single person, you're also not going to grow. You know? So, I don't know why, I just felt like that's kind of just been on my heart, and I just realized past things that I've done and ways that I've not loved people the best in the past, I want to do different. And I want to move forward in more health and wholeness, and love people better. You know, what pleases God is love. How we treat each other and how we treat others and how we treat Him and how we love Him, that's what pleases Him the most. And so, with this, and as we continue and we get people who come and people who go, to continue to just be pushing into depth of relationship, because that's what's important, you know? And if there's ever something that you need to talk to me about, or there's something that I have done that you're like, hey, this made me feel this way, please come and talk to me. Please let me know, because I can't grow from something that I'm not aware of. I can't. None of us can, you know? We can't read minds. And so with all of that, to continue to be healthy family, and you know, people are like, so what's your vision? Like, is your vision to grow, you know, like have a big church? My vision is not to have a couple hundred person church. It's not. I have no desire for that. You know, like, I desire to have a family of people who love each other and are growing and changing and transforming. Yeah. It and loving the world well. This is worth it to me to keep showing up. You guys are worth it for me to keep showing up. Because as I see your lives change, you know, I watch, like, Amy the last few years. I mean, we've walked with Amy for a lot of years, you know. She was different. It was like this season of, like, okay, it's time for you to go somewhere else. But she was different. Like, there was a joy. Even though there was still, like, you know, some things, but, like, there was a joy in there, and you just saw it on her, right? And so, like, change and transformation, that's why we keep doing this. And family is a safe place to be able to do that. So, yeah, just one second. So I'm just putting that out there. If there's ever anything with me, please sit down with me and just let me know. You know, my heart is to love, but sometimes things ooze out onto people that I care about because of things that might be going on inside. Me and my dad have decided that we're going to ask the question instead of taking things as offense that maybe we're saying to each other to be like, hey, are you doing okay? not in an accusatory, like, are you okay? But like, are you doing okay? What's going on with you? You know, to give space because, oh, sorry, you know, I'm in this, and it gives that person a space to talk about what's happening. But anyway, I want to pray first, and then, as you talk. But God, thank you for who you are, and I just pray right now for all of us as we grow in relationships in our immediate families, Lord, friendships, workplaces, here, Lord, at Rev, God, that you would continue to give us the tools that we need to move forward in health and wholeness. And God, that you would challenge all of our hearts to grow and transform. And I thank you for relationship. I thank you that you've called us to love. And I thank you, God, that you've given us tools. You've given us the Holy Spirit to speak to us, to guide us, to encourage us, to change us, to help us to see what are the things inside of us that are not of you that need to go. And who have you made us to be? Lovers. And God, I just pray that you would continue to shape us into the men and women that you want us to be. To love each other well, to be a family where people can come, to be safe, to be changed, transformed into your likeness, God. And more than that, just to be loved, to be safe, to be seen. God, that's the desire of my heart. And thank you for this family. Thank you for what you're doing here and in all the bodies, or the pieces of your body around the world, God. We love you. Amen.
Amen.